Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed together, shaken down, and overflowing, will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
The whole point of Lent is to become like God. We fast as Jesus fasted. We pray as Jesus prayed. We give of ourselves as Jesus did. As we heard last Monday, we're called to be holy as the Lord our God is holy. As we heard on Saturday, we're called to become perfected as God is perfect. Today, Jesus says, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful." To become like God. And then Jesus explicitates how someone who is merciful like the Father behaves. Stop judging. That if we're merciful like the Father is merciful, we're not going to be judging everybody. Stop condemning. That we're going to stop saying that somebody else merits hell. Forgiving. Mercy is greater than just forgiveness. We saw it during the Year of Mercy that Jesus' mercy took 5 different forms. But forgiveness is essential. When people wrong us, we forgive like God himself is forgiven. Give, and gifts will be given to you. That somebody who is merciful is constantly giving. And then Jesus tells us at the end, "For the measure with which we measure will be given back to us." God himself gives everything to us and says, "Follow me." And then wants us literally to follow him in giving. And when we give in that way, God himself will give us even more. It will be measured back to us. And not just measured back 1 for 1. Measured back 100 for 1 plus eternal life. Jesus wants us precisely to become like the Father, and he shows us the way to do it. But insofar as today we celebrate the 4th anniversary of the election of Pope Francis, I think it would be worthwhile for us to look at today's readings through what he's been teaching us in these last 4 years since he was elected. His most famous line of his pontificate, which was not intended, I think, to be such, was on the plane coming back from World Youth Day. And I think we can draw a huge lesson from it that we can't miss. Even though the mass media misinterpreted it, even though many others have tried to manipulate it, there's a truth here. When he was asked about that Monsignor Battista Rica, who is working to run the Doma Sancti Marte where he lives, he's a prefect for the Council of the Economy, he was caught in an elevator naked with a former Swiss guard in Uruguay. And that's why he was basically kicked out of the Vatican Diplomatic Corps. And various journalists were like, how could this guy basically be rewarded by running the Doma Sancti Marte compared to being an archbishop somewhere? They don't really know. I mean, he was demoted. But the Holy Father's comment on the plane when he was being asked about him was, if a person has repented and approached the Lord for mercy, how can I withhold mercy? Who am I to judge, he asked. The first pope's first words to Jesus were, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, and the Lord built his church on him. Those words, who am I to judge, resonated because the popular impression of Catholics throughout the world, and we can't ponder this enough, the popular impression of Catholics throughout the world is that we judge everybody. the people who are sinners and know it, who have guilty consciences and are particularly hypersensitive, have Catholics in their life who tell them that no matter what good deeds they're doing, they are absolute sinners, because maybe they're married outside of the church, or maybe they're engaged in conduct that's clearly against one of the commandments. Maybe they're not coming to church, whatever the circumstance may be. The impression they receive from Catholics in their life, not necessarily the clergy or religious, but the impression that they get is that they are constantly judged. And that's why this is so important. As if the church just goes around putting scarlet letters on everybody. How much of a revolution would be that when the average person, especially the average sinner, looks at the average Catholic, they see an image of the mercy of God, loving them back to life, summoning them, not in a negative way, you're a terrible sinner and you're going to go to hell unless you repent, but summoning them with mercy. You're so much better than this. I know that this isn't leading you to happiness. God loves you, you know, and he'll give you a second chance. Don't waste the time in approaching him, because he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you like the father in the parable of the prodigal son. How happy you would make God if only you would come back. It's imperative in our age that there be a revolution of mercy. And we need to face this. We can say, hey, listen, I don't treat sinners that way. Good. But there are many sinners who think that the church condemns rather than embraces. And we need to work really hard to change that frame. It's easier to form people's minds than change people's minds. But the reality is, a lot of people have in their minds that the church rejects them because of their experience of rejection by some of the Catholics they've known. And so we need to work so hard to let them know that the church wants to work with them. Sister, in this, I know that I'm preaching to the choir, because you're on the front lines of saying to people who have made some choices that they will repent of in this world or the next. I know God's mercy is greater, but I'd encourage you always to turn up the volume of that message, because we've got a lot of remedying to do. It's the first thing we can learn from Pope Francis. Second thing we can learn from Pope Francis is what he commented on this passage 2 years ago when it came up in Lent. He said, when we hear these words, stop judging and you will not be judged, Jesus is obviously referring to the way that we relate to others as if we're superiors. And he says what it means is that we have to judge ourselves first. And that when we recognize that we might not be guilty of some of the sins other people are committing, that rather than separating ourselves from them and condemning them and their actions, that we in a sense join them in a prayer of reparation, that we turn to God with them and for them as fellow sinners who might be committing different sins but committing sins all the same, and beg for God's mercy. And that's how today's gospel links itself to the other readings. Prophet Daniel was there in Babylon. Prophet Daniel himself wasn't responsible for all the sin that had been committed in Jerusalem that led to the exile. But nevertheless, there Daniel is. Lord, great and awesome God, you keep your merciful covenant to those who love you and observe your commandment. We, not they, not these losers all around me, we have sinned, been wicked and done evil. We've rebelled and departed from your commandments and your law. We haven't obeyed your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name, etc. We are shamefaced even to this day. We are shamefaced for having sinned against you. But yours, O Lord, are compassion and forgiveness. We rebelled against you and paid no heed to your command to live by the law you gave us through your servants, the prophets. But you are compassionate and forgiving. To join sinners in a prayer of reparation. The responsorial psalm continued the same hymn of plea for mercy. Remember not against us the iniquities of the past. Let your compassion come quickly toward us who are brought very low. Deliver us and pardon our sins for your name's sake. That's what we do for the world. The beautiful chaplet of divine mercy that we pray. That's what we're doing. Praying, offering the Eucharist to the Father in expiation for our sins and the sins of the whole world. That's what Our Lady of Fatima 100 years ago this year was asking of Lucia, of Francisco in Jacinta, and all of us through them, that we would pray together with sinners in reparation. Oh my Jesus, forgive us our sin. Save us from the fires of hell. Don't treat us as our deeds deserve. And lead all souls to heaven, especially those in most need of your mercy. This is a prayer we make every day. When we come to Mass, we're not just getting, obviously, our spiritual vitamins. We're not just coming into communion with the Lord Jesus to help us on the way to holiness. But we are joining his prayer from the Last Supper and the cross, which brought mercy down on the world. And the more merciful we are, the more we appreciate this, as the Lord himself gives himself in great measure, packed down, shaken down, and overflowing, poured not just into our laps, but into our hearts and into our souls. In response to the mercy we have measured out, we now receive mercy incarnate. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.